Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about the legendary McIntyre singing and rodeo family? Now, would you like to learn more about what it's like growing up as the youngest of four in a very famous family? Have you ever wanted to know more about the singing McIntyres? Can you imagine a career in country singing? Tell me, do you know what it is like being married to a rodeo performer? Have you ever heard about a book called The Positive Country Moment? Oh, actually, it's called The Positive Moment. Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and learn all about country singing? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk 4 Media and syndicated at iHeartRadio Talk and Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you about my guest. She is the prodigy of the legendary McIntyre singing and rodeo family. Like her brother, Pac, and sister, Reba, Susie began singing in the back seat of the McIntyre's car. To pass the time, Mother Jack taught them harmonies to fill the long hours in the car, hustling from one arena to the next. The fruit of that was the singing McIntyres. From 1980 to 1982, she toured with Reba until she began her own family. In 1984, out of a deep personal spiritual journey, she moved to singing and recording Christian music. My guest quickly signed with a recording label, and as her music climbed the charts, and she garnered numerous awards. As a pioneer of the positive country movement, she courageously blended her Christian faith into mainline country music and established a loyal audience amongst the farming, ranching, and country music world. She was back to her roots again, and I am so pleased to welcome to the show today Susie McIntyre. Hi, Susie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great, January. I wanted to whine about the wet weather up here in Washington, but I'm just afraid to say anything bad about it.
Yeah, well, you know, no, you're in the no whining zone, kiddo.
No whining at all. And then yeah. I wanted to whine and say, wait a minute, I don't know how much of a success coach I am. All I know that I have survived, you know. And if we have survived many of the things that I've gone through in my life, I guess to me that is very, very much of a success. And to be able to be on the outside of that and to be able to function and operate in this world and be pretty successful in what I do, I feel like I could probably offer a thing of wisdom or two.
Well, that's why I'm so happy to have you on the show, because you not only are a survivor, you have actually someone that has thrived. Now, let's begin your success story. Would you share with us where you were born, something about your early years, and who your early mentors were, and who are the people that got you started on your success story?
Well, all of our family were born and raised south of Tulsa, Oklahoma, about 2.5 hours south of Tulsa, in a community called Chalky, Oklahoma, which
okay.
is not, it's very, very small. It's still probably maybe 4 or 5 houses. But we lived south of McAllister and went to a little school called Kiowa, Oklahoma, and that's where all of us 4 kids graduated. My mom and daddy were from that area, too. They went to the same school together, and on their 50th wedding anniversary, we asked them, say, hey, you know, how did you guys get together? We want to know our legacy. And, and mama caught daddy's eye because she was a very good singer, and she sang the national anthem for the programs that they had down in the gymnasium to start each day out, with the Pledge of Allegiance, the prayer, and the national anthem. And so he quit school in the 8th grade, and he was a rodeo cowboy and wanted to pursue his career. And she got out of school and immediately started teaching at a one-room schoolhouse of 30 kids. And so, you know, she was at 16 years old, and him running around trying to rodeo. And he was very successful at what he did. So, So, you know, that's the kind of roots that we had, where people that had to make it, and they had very little to live on, much less eat, and they were very poor, both families were, but they knew how to work real hard. And
Susie, how old were they when they got married?
They were a little bit older. They got married in 1950. Mama was born in 26, and Daddy was born in 27, and so they were a little bit older. He had to get off to the Madison Square Gardens in New York City to be away from her for a little while to really know how much in love he was with this red-headed woman from Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's, you know, and then Mama loved to sing, and Daddy had he could really yell loud for cattle. He was what he won on the rodeo circuit he brought home to Oklahoma. And so they had 4 kids in 5 years, and so it was like, you know, just go for it. And we were raised very modestly. We were taught to work really hard and work together as a family. And so I think who inspired me the most would be my parents, because they taught us to work, and they taught us to be family. And my mama, like most parents right now, and moms who are soccer moms or football moms, she carried us around to singing jobs. She took us to 4-H, FFA, FHA, and also to our sports events. And while Daddy was working at home on the ranch, and so probably my mom would be the one who inspired me the most to be a hard worker. But spiritually, my grandma Smith, her mama, was the one who really inspired me to reach for bigger things and to be in awe of elderly people and to enjoy a really good sit-down on the porch time and just be relaxed.
Oh, yeah, that sounds wonderful. Now, tell us about your early days singing in the back seat of your parents' car. They would take all 4 of you and go to singing events. Tell us what that was like.
Well, actually, we were really small, and we were, of course, you know, my older sister was 5 when I was born, so we were all really, really close. And back then, there were no seat belts, and my daddy was pulling a 1-horse trailer with his horse in the back, with a, you know, maybe a 57 Chevy, maybe a 60. And so, you know, you pulled a trailer with a car, and the cars were much bigger back then. And they had a floorboard on each side where you put your feet, and then there was a big hump in the middle, and then a wide seat, and then place enough for behind the seat in between the glass in the back there for my brother to lay if he needed to. So that's where we took our naps and slept at night. Me and Reba would get each side of the floorboard. My sister Alice, because she was the oldest, got the seat, and then my brother on the back. And when Daddy would throw on the brakes, well, Peyton would come down, Alice would come down, and we'd all start squealing.
Now, where did they go? To country fairs, or what kind of events did they start performing at?
Well, they would be in rodeos. My daddy was a steer roper, so when we would go to the rodeos, that's where it was. And you see, my daddy was born and raised in Oklahoma, and he was an only child, and so there were a lot of adults around him, and he didn't know how to relate to kids. And so, you know, you got four kids traveling 400 or 500 miles, you know, you get a little bit antsy and you get to arguing with each other. And so in order for us to not get in trouble, Mama would say, okay, kids, let's sing.
Okay.
And she would teach us songs and she would teach us how to sing 3-part harmony. And so that was our education, as well as saving our lives, because Daddy wouldn't get so put out with us and we would make all this noise.
Now, you then became the Singing McIntyres. And Susie, can you remember the first time you ever performed on stage?
Well, it was outside the Singing McIntyres, because, you know, I was the fourth of the four kids, and our school had Christmas play in first grade and then Thanksgiving play in the second grade.
Uh-huh.
And I know I was in the Christmas play, but I got a singing part in the Thanksgiving play.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted me to sing the verses of How Great Thou Art. And I don't know if you know the words to that.
Oh,
but
yes, I do.
Pretty big words for a little second grader. And I remember Mama working with me, and I said, Mama, I'm really nervous about this because I don't want to mess up these words. And she said, well, don't look at the people. Just look at the exit sign in the back of the auditorium. And as I look at that now, I thought, what really was she saying to me? Maybe I was going to have to make a quick exit.
I love it. That's a fantastic story. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the Singing McIntyres and the transition from country to gospel. We'll be right back with Susie McIntyre.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back, and I'm pleased to announce that both Tom and Jared will be on the show next month, April 23rd, and on Monday, the 21st, they will be running in the Boston Marathon. So they ran last year, and of course, you know, with the tragedy that happened, they weren't able to finish. So this year, they're going to finish the marathon. And Dale Bruner will be back with us sharing all of his thoughts on creating a feel-good world in your life. Today, we're on the show with Susie McIntyre, and she was a young child in the Singing McIntyres. Now, how old were you when you started singing with your family?
Well, around the house, we would sing quite a bit, but officially, we became a group. When I got into the seventh grade, they had started a regular music class in our school called Kiowa High School, Kiowa Elementary there. And it's just south of McAlester, Oklahoma, in southeastern Oklahoma. And so they didn't have enough kids for a marching band. So there was enough kids that wanted to play country music and just music and were interested that my mama, who was secretary to the superintendent, asked the school board if they would allow our art teacher, who was also a musician, to teach a class there, a regular one-hour class every day. And out of that group of musicians came Reba McEntire, my brother Pate, me, several other musicians that are even still today playing. Plus, one that I'm really, really proud of is one who didn't even know what a bass guitar was, but learned it, played for Reba, and is still playing for Alan Jackson today.
Oh, how wonderful.
So yeah, I am so, January, it's so important for kids to be able to be in the arts. It's, you know, we put so much in basketball, football, soccer, and that's all great. But there's lots of opportunity for young people to make their living in music and the arts, and I'm a great proponent of that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, Susie, I live in a small town, and our grandson goes to the local school. I'm pleased to say that they have band every morning. They have choral group. And this little, sometimes little towns really can surprise you, can't they?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can, because it seems like that the parents and the booster club get behind it even more, and there's such a pride there. I mean, we took that into 4-H club, and We won many championships in state, and it was just a really neat thing, as well as being able to do benefits for that. But out of that, you know, Reba went on to college, and you know, our little group fell apart, and I thought, well, okay, I won't sing. I usually just sing the third part anyway. You know, I was very shy with my singing. And so I went on to Oklahoma State University, and I thought I was going to become an accountant until my last semesters, and I kind of got scared, and I thought, oh, I'm way over my head here. So I finished college, and then I worked for an oil lease company for a year. And then up comes Reba, and she says, you know, I like the road, but I miss my sister, and would you be willing to come on the road with me and be my companion and be my backup singer? And so from 80 to 82, I sang with Reba on the road. I was with her when she got her first bus.
Oh, my gosh. What an exciting time in her life, and how wonderful to be able to share it with a sister and for you to be along with her. I think those are probably years you'll always cherish, aren't they?
Oh, yes, exactly. And it was a wonderful education. I really didn't feel like that I would be singing the rest of my life as a career, as a profession. But as I watched her do radio interviews and her presence on the stage, and just to get an inkling of how hard she works, you know, she's worked all of these years on her career and still works as hard today as she ever has. She goes after it. I mean, there's not a time in her day that she doesn't work on her career.
Oh, yeah, and this work ethic that you all had from early on, which your parents gave you, has stood the test of time. And I think that's why your career has gone so well, hasn't it?
Well, I think so. Mom and Daddy always made sure, you know, that we were on time, that we were prepared, and that we sang enough. We sang what was asked. They said, don't sing too long now, because they might get tired of you. You want them leaving wanting more. And I've always remembered that, and to be cordial, to pay attention to people and their needs. And, they instilled a good, hard work ethic for us. And to some degree, it's we're a little bit overboard, because none of us want to retire. We don't want to quit, and work is our middle name. We love to work. And a little bit of a performance, I don't know, we love to perform, and we love to be in the spotlight. And but they did instill in us that to have a conversation with people and care about where people are coming from.
Yeah, and you've done that so well, as your entire family. Now, tell us a little bit about what it was like for you when you were now in a single life after you had an unhappy marriage, and riddled with domestic abuse. What was it like being single, and how many children did you have?
Oh, we had three children. Our oldest, EP, was born in 1983. Our daughter, Lucchese, was born in 86. And then our son, Samuel, was born in 1989. And I separated from my first husband in 2006. And he was going to go and find out, try to find out why he was angry, go do some things with his parents and try to mend some fences there and get some things arranged. And so we got back together, and it just, the abuse didn't stop. And so I did something I thought I would never do. January, I was a very much Christian woman, and I believed in marriage and the institution of that. And I wanted our family to be together. But the abuse wouldn't stop. The physical abuse stopped in 95, but the emotional and verbal abuse continued.
Right.
And so, my kids have a good relationship with their dad, and we are congenial. But I knew that I couldn't live in that situation. And so, it takes years for it to kind of work out and for the kids to adjust and ask their questions and get their answers. But when I got cut loose from that, I became healthier. I realized that I was very much a people pleaser, for one thing.
Oh, yeah. Most women in domestic abuse would come in that category. Tell us about when you met Mark Eaton of Seattle at Cannon Beach, Oregon, a chance meeting that changed your life, and I'm sure it changed Mark's life for the better, too.
Yeah. Well, I had been divorced for 1 month. My divorce went through. I had been separated for 2 years, but I had been officially divorced for a month, and I was in Cannon Beach, Oregon, at the Cannon Beach Conference Center to sing. I had arrived on Friday and was going down to dinner to sit at the head table where my sponsors were there and the people that were, running the camp. And the speaker was there beside me and walked in with me. And the people asked and said, hey, is your friend coming? And he said, yeah. And I thought, well, okay. I don't want... So I left a seat in between us. Well, this speaker had known Mark for quite a long time, and he said, hey, Mark, why don't you drive down from Seattle? I've got an extra room in my where I'm staying, and, hey, we could, visit this weekend. And so Mark comes in and sits down and makes his acquaintance all around the table, very talkative guy and nice-looking and everything. And I joke and say, well, the first thing I did was look at his ring finger, left-hand ring finger, and it was empty. And so it was just a chance meeting. It was out of the blue, wasn't supposed to happen. And I excused myself really quickly and said I needed to go do sound check. He listened to me sing that night and again the next morning. And he came up to me after the 10 o'clock session and said, hey, I'd like to hear more of your story. Would you like to take a ride down the beach? I've got a car. Okay. And so that afternoon we talked, we told each other stories. And we hit it off. We became friends. And that was so unlike me, January. It was like, I can't believe that I just said yes to a, quote, date, going down the beach. But we became friends, and we spoke over the phone and emailed and just got to know each other.
Well, when I met my second husband, I have to share with you the same thing. When it feels right, it just is right. And it's so important to reach out to each other as friends. You can always become lovers.
Exactly.
But being friends is what will take you to the next level, and it's what you need to create a relationship and to create a marriage and to create a career, which you certainly have done. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how your marriage to Mark has affected your career. We're going to talk about losing weight, working out, and the very favorite part of your job. We'll be right back with Susie McIntyre.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems, people who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes, people who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, I certainly hope that all of you listening today will become socially fit. That is my intention. I'm happy to welcome back another priceless personality to our show today, Susie McIntyre. And she married Mark Eaton in December of 2009. Mark being an adventurer, speaker, theologian, and CrossFit Level 2 trainer, Susie and Mark form a powerful team, singing, storytelling, and teaching at cowboy churches, fairs, and private events across the country. Their charitable work with the Eaton Leadership Foundation provides mentoring and inspiration to our next generation of leaders and stable caring support for leaders in crisis. Susie, tell us how your marriage to Mark affected your career.
Well, you know, coming out of an abusive situation, I was very closed up. I was, it was like an onion. I was, in fact, when he first met me, he reflects back on that day and he says, you were what I would probably call aloof and pretty close, like you had your hand up in front of you saying, don't come any closer than this. And I knew I had because, you know, there were so many things in my 26 years of marriage that I had told stories, but I didn't trust people. I didn't want people to know the real me. And so, and being the sister of a very famous lady, Reba McIntyre, and not only her, but my daddy was famous, my grandpap was famous. I could never tell when I was growing up if people were my friends because they wanted to be my friend or they wanted to get close to my family, and especially Reba. So he says that I was very aloof and I was closed up. And Mark has helped me to begin to see the real me, that I project a lot of what I'm feeling on the inside, whether it's some disappointment or feelings of people not entering in with me or really enjoying me. I project onto people what I'm feeling myself, and so that makes it doubly bad. And so he's helped me to open up more, to see what's true and not what I, you know, what is the truth here? What you are talented, Susie. You are, you do have a gift, and you do have something to, and then he helps it. We just did a date in Florida with a live band, and I was so against it. Mark, I've just been under, so I it's just so much easier to use my tracks, and you know, and he encouraged me, said I'll be right there and we'll work on it, and it was a great move for us. I enjoyed it a lot, so it helps me to come out of my shell, and even at the age I am, I'm going to be 57 this year, I feel like I'm singing better than I ever have. I'm singing with more emotion. I'm singing with better clarity and better pitch. And I think it's because that stress is gone. I believe
yes.
that it's because the emotion can be sung through the song, not worrying about what's going to happen in the bus or the hotel room later.
Right.
If I mess up. So,
well, you're at 57. You're getting better, not older, but better. And I think the love that he has given you with his self-confidence, and it has helped your self-confidence and your self-esteem. And, sweetie, 57, you are just a baby. So you are, from my perspective, you are on your way. It's very, very exciting. Would you share now with our listeners your website information and tell them how they can get your music, go to your website, and tell them about how they can contact Eaton Leadership?
Sure. It's eatonleadership.org, EatonLeadership. That's how they can learn about what we're up to in helping future leaders. Mark is a wonderful speaker, and I'm hoping that you're going to speak to him in a few minutes because you'll enjoy him.
Okay.
My website is www.SusieMcIntyre.com. I've got 19 going on 20 CDs, and we've got lots of different things on there as well as the itinerary of where we're going to be. So I encourage people to look on that. And Facebook, of course.
Okay, Twitter and all of that, LinkedIn.
Yeah, you know, all of that.
This amazing world that we live in, isn't it something?
It is.
Could you share a little bit about losing weight and working out?
Oh, well, also, when I was a little, when Mark was calling me a little bit aloof, I was very fluffy, too. I was traveling by myself. I was traveling by myself in a little Dodge Avenger, and I would pull in, you know, you'd get bored. You'd think, oh, gosh, I'm a little hungry. And so I would pull into a Sonic drive-in and order number 7 with big onion rings and a Diet Coke. So I was very happy myself. But so I got overweight January. I did, and I got, it just kind of crept up on me. And finally I saw pictures, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I doing to myself? And why don't my friends tell me how fat I am? And so when we got together, I had started walking. I had started doing
good.
Some shakes, and I had was building a house. And so I started losing weight. And he said, if you want to get strong, let me know. And I said, well, I've started on a little bit of a workout plan, but I'd like to do more. And so Mark was a CrossFit trainer in Everett, Washington. And he started giving me some instructions, and he said, time yourself and then do this again in a week, and let's see, and I'll bump you up. And it's been extraordinary. I lost 40 pounds and probably more than that because I replaced that with muscle.
Sure.
The other day I got a personal record of 95-pound clean, which I think at a age of 57, at my stature, I think that was pretty good. He says it's good.
Fantastic.
And deadlifted 180. So we run a little bit. We do all kinds of exercises. We try to stay fit because we feel like if we stay fit and healthy, then we can do what we do longer, and we'll be able to get up and down out of the floor with our grandkids, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't
Absolutely.
Want that back. Yeah, and the bad knees. I want to stay fit. And unbeknownst to me, there's a lot of people that follow me on Facebook, and one walked up to me the other day at church, and she said, this is an old lady from my hometown. And she said, I owe it to you. She said, I have lost 30 pounds because of you.
Oh, wonderful.
And
wonderful.
Your inspiration. And I had no idea. I'm just doing it. I'm doing it for myself. But it makes me realize what our life does for other people. And
oh,
it can
absolutely.
Be either negative or positive.
Absolutely. So. You know, Susie, I'm 70 this year, and I walk two miles twice a day. And my mantra is if you don't use it, you will lose it. So I'm out there, and but guess what? My favorite new word is fluffy. I think we need to replace fat in our vocabulary with the word fluffy. That is adorable, and I think it really describes me really well. Thank you so much for the gift of that word.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I hope that Mark Eaton will join us and share with us what it's been like to be married to this wonderful woman, Susie McIntyre. We'll be right back.
And when we come back, he will be on the phone.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back, and it's so much fun being able to share a wonderful success story, the success marriage and story with Susie McIntyre and Mark Eaton. Mark, are you there with us now?
I am. Hi, January.
Hi, Mark. So tell me, what's it like being married to this country gospel singer, and what an exciting life you have with her, don't you?
It's been pretty incredible. I've been taken out of Seattle, the land of rock and roll, and transplanted into Oklahoma, the land of country music and Merle Haggard and the McIntyres.
Okay.
It's been quite a transition.
Now, what's your favorite part of your job?
A number of things. Traveling with Susie would be one of those, just the challenges of the airport. I love being on stage with Susie, and I have to say that that's probably, if I had to pick a favorite, that's the payoff for all the work that we do.
Now, did you go to Nepal with her?
Yeah, we did.
Tell me about that.
Absolutely.
I bet that
well,
sounds
I was,
great.
An Oklahoma country girl who going to Nepal. I have a background in mountaineering and climbing, being from the Pacific Northwest here. And,
oh, my gosh. How exciting.
I've been a professional mountain guide over the years.
Uh-huh.
So the idea of putting on a backpack and trekking actually relatively simple to me.
Uh-huh.
But to Susie, that was something that she was probably filled with a lot of trepidation. Anyway, she did fabulous. And she adopted to the trail life really quick, and we ate foods neither one of us had ever eaten. We slept places that were just gorgeous, and roughed it, and, you know, several days without a shower at a couple points, and 30 miles beyond the farthest road, and some of the most beautiful country in the world.
And, of course, you had a lot of yak around you, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And there was a lot of that. And rice, a lot of rice.
Yeah. Okay. What an amazing experience. What year did you do this, and how long were you on this adventure?
That was just a year ago this month in April.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in April. We went to see my daughter and her family and Bangladesh for 4 days, and then jumped an hour and a half up to Kathmandu. So we were in Nepal and Kathmandu, and then on our trek for nine days total.
Well, you are a better man than me, Ganga Din.
It was really just something that if you're in reasonably good shape and can walk, you could do this trip.
Oh, that sounds like a trip of a lifetime. And I must share with you that I'm incredibly jealous. I've got knee replacement, so I'm not a candidate for that trip.
Yep.
But I'm envious of you. Now tell us, do you have new music coming out soon with Susie?
I think he was probably referring to the live at the Florida State Fair.
Okay.
And yes, we took about two, maybe three shows and just recorded them. And then we've got an engineer who's taken the best of each of those shows and put them together for a live CD that I actually worked on a little bit today. And it should be out in 6 or 8 weeks.
Oh, sounds great. Keep me posted on that.
All right.
And what are your thoughts, Mark, about gospel music versus country music? Do you think it's a conflict?
The gospel is a broad term. Country is a broad term. And, I kind of go back to many of the hymns that my grandparents sang and the hymns that I grew up with in the church were the result of the old bar tunes from some of the Wesley brothers, they changed the words. And then we move into this distinction between what is secular and what is sacred, and it gets kind of confusing. What I've really enjoyed about Susie is that she sort of steps out of that. If someone were to say, is this song country, is it Christian, is it gospel, is it what? She kind of steps out of that and says, this song talks about family, and that is definitely a biblical value. This song talks about reconciliation, and that's something that the Bible talks about. This song talks about a broken heart, and God certainly in Scripture speaks of a broken heart. But she steps out of the question to get above it. And that's why she's been such a successful a person, singer, for all these years. And because she just gets above that question. I don't know if I got to the heart of what you were asking.
You certainly did. You certainly did, dear. And I don't need to tell you this because I know you know this. You are a very, very lucky man to be married to Susie McIntyre. And Susie, if you're still there, I'd like to have you come on for one last question.
Yeah, she is. She's right here. Believe it or not, the amazing Susie McIntyre is folding laundry. So let me get her on. And we'll focus
basket away.
And yes, thank you. I am a very blessed man.
Yes, you are. Yeah, very, very. Hey, Susie.
Hey.
Hey. Now, the big question, has being the sister of Reba McIntyre helped or hindered your career? Be honest with us.
Well, it would absolutely have helped me 100%. Now, early on, when I first started singing Christian music and
I was having trouble in my marriage. You know, people would ask mm-hmm. me, you know, why didn't you bring Reba? Or uh-huh. one newspaper columnist said, well, she ain't no Reba. You know, I went to after, you know, it's like, well, I'm not trying to be Reba. So yeah. It was at that point I had not grown to be at grips with what God had done in my life. Mm-hmm. And then one day someone asked me, it was a friend of mine from New Mexico, and she said, do you think God made Reba famous just for Reba? And I looked at her and I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, well, yeah. look at the doors that her career and her personality, her work ethic opened uh-huh. for you. And she said, yeah. you don't think God's in all of that?
Oh,
and I said,
sure.
No, you're absolutely right. And so mm-hmm. I saw it from a different perspective from that day on. And I felt like, as Reba has felt all this time, that we mm-hmm. are partners in crime. That we're basically the same thing. And that we encourage people with music. And,
yes.
you know, maybe mine was just a little bit more in church, you know, in my early uh-huh. career. Uh-huh. But God said, God also has blessed that I go to fairs and festivals, and mm-hmm. I do basically the same thing. I just sing songs about people's lives, and it encourages them to go to the one who helps them in their troubles.
Oh, sure.
So it's been very successful, and when I started singing Christian music, God told me that I would never lack for a place to sing, and I thought, well, yeah, you can always sing in the shower, God, and I see that. But I've not yeah. had a booking agent. I've not, you know, people have booked things for me, but the phone continues to ring, and it amazes me, actually, that God would do that for me and just keep us busy and keep us going. So,
well, Susie yep. McIntyre, thank you for sharing your success story with my listeners. You are a wonderful guest, and you and your entire family have been blessed. I hope you will come back many, many times again in the future.
Great. Thank you, January. It's been a joy to meet you, and thank you for having me on the show today. It's been a blessing.
Wonderful. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Susie. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. When you can, please sign on to my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you will get a free download of 2 chapters from Priceless Personalities. You know, we really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know and then some. And if that doesn't work, start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Susie McIntyre. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Mm-hmm.